The Infrastructure and Tourism Appropriations Subcommittee will come to order. Ms. Sabrina, please call the roll.
Chair Williamson.
Here.
Vice Chairpersons Maluka. Representatives Arrington.
Here.
Bell.
Here.
Cheney.
Here.
Daly.
Here.
Harding.
Here.
Ranking Member Hart.
Here.
Representatives Lamarca.
Here.
McFarland, excused. Representatives Mooney.
Here.
Placencia. Romo.
Here.
Silvers.
Here.
Slogsberg King.
Here.
Quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
All right, we have a quorum present this morning. Thank you for being here. I'm going to kind of, if you have anything that makes noise or you have a phone, please put it on vibrate or turn it to silent. I'm going to kind of lay out the groundwork for today's meeting. We have some member bills. We have some projects as well, and we have a presentation. What we're going to do is we're going to take up the member bills first, which we have seven. Then we're going to move to the consent agenda. So just remember, if you see anything on that consent agenda that you want to fill out a nay vote form, make sure you do that and give it to Ms. Sabrina before we get to that point. But we're going to start out. We've got a lot of people that got to get in and out of the committee, and a lot of air traffic control going on this morning. But we're going to start out our bills, and we're going to go with Representative Andrade. Representative Andrade has CS for HB 157. You're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair. CS for HB 157 does three main things. First, it establishes a window of between 15% and 25% every year of the Transportation Trust Fund that should be spent on transit program and project issues. It allows the Department of Transportation to engage in unique design build programs and allows for the use of finances to actually provide those types of programs. And then it also removes an unnecessary public records exemption.
Thank you for the explanation of the bill. Do we have questions for the bill sponsor? Ranking Member Hart, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Rep. Andrade. I was wondering if we have somebody that could literally speak to setting a limit on the amounts of the state revenues in the State Transportation Trust Fund.
Recognize.
Well, I'm sure there are plenty of people who can. I'm happy to as well. Currently in Florida law, a minimum of 15% of the Transportation Trust Fund has to be spent on transit projects every year. This provides essentially a cap so that everyone in the state who's counting on road projects, road maintenance, can have a general idea of exactly how much money is going to be spent on those programs versus transit projects, which could largely be investments in vehicles and other things not related to road maintenance and construction. And additionally, it's my understanding that historically, spending's never gone above 20% on transit projects. This just provides more clarity and consistency.
Ranking Member, do you have a follow-up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, where is DOT, the Department of Transportation on this? My understanding was that they did have some concerns.
You're recognized.
Representative Hart, I can't speak for DOT. I have not been told by them that they have concerns. If they've relayed them to you or it's in the staff analysis, that again, any communication from DOT, I'd let that speak for itself.
Ranking Member?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'll speak to DOT when they're up. Thank you very much.
Any other questions? Seeing no other questions, that moves us to public testimony. No public testimony. Members in debate. Seeing no debate, you recognize close on your bill.
Wave close, Chair.
Having waived close, Ms. Sabrina, please call the roll on CS for HB 157.
Chair Williamson.
Yes.
Vice Chairpersons Maluka. Representatives Arrington.
Yes.
Ranking Member Hart.
Yes.
Representatives Bell.
Yes.
Cheney.
Yes.
Daly.
Yes.
Harding. Lamarca.
Yes.
Harding.
Yes.
McFarland. Mooney.
Yes.
Placencia. Romo.
Yes.
Silvers.
Yes.
Slogsberg King.
Yes.
12 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, show CS for HB 157 reported favorably. Representative, congratulations for having your name pronounced correctly every single time today. Can't promise the rest of the day, though. Representative Valdez, you have HB 661, Transportation Facility Designations. You are recognized.
Good morning, Chair Williamson, Ranking Member Hart, and members of the committee. Thank you very much for hearing this bill today. This bill designates bridge number 100850 on State Road 60, the Courtney Campbell Causeway, over Old Tampa Bay in Hillsborough County as Virginia Creighton Bridge. Virginia Ginger Creighton worked in the field of wetland science and was key to developing the Courtney Campbell Causeway, Old Tampa Bay Water Quality Improvement Project that provided environmental credit for the Department of Transportation's projects in the Tampa Bay area. Ms. Creighton passed away on May 29th, 2020, and this renaming would honor her legacy in the Tampa Bay area. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative, for that explanation. Do we have any questions for the bill sponsor? Seeing no questions, public testimony? No public testimony. Moves us into debate. Members in debate, seeing no debate, you're recognized to close.
I wave close.
Having waved close, Ms. Sabrina, please call the roll on HB 661.
Chair Williamson?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Maluka?
Yes.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Ranking Member Hart?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daley?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Lamarca?
Yes.
McFarland? Mooney?
Yes.
Placencia? Silvers?
Yes.
Romo?
Yes.
Salzburg King?
Yes.
13 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, please show HB 661 reported favorably.
Thank you, Chair, and have a great day.
Thank you. All right, Representative Skidmore, you have HB 37. When you're ready, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, members. This bill names a portion of State Road 715 south of the Pahokee Airport in memory of Deputy Sheriffs Jonathan Wallace and Donta Manuel. In the early morning hours in November of 2007, both deputy sheriffs were killed by another law enforcement officer as they attempted to remove stop sticks from the roadway. They were respectively 23 and 33 years old and left families behind. And so this bill is in naming the road in their honor.
Thank you, Representative, for that explanation. Do we have any questions for the bill sponsor? Seeing no questions for the bill sponsor, that moves us to public testimony. We have Matt Puckett with the Florida Police Benevolent Association waving in support. Ed Chase with Palm Beach County. Yes, sir. Mr. Chase, you're recognized, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Ed Chase. I'm the Intergovernmental Affairs Director for Palm Beach County. I would like to thank Representative Skidmore for this bill. Just a few other words on Deputies Wallace and Manuel. They were involved in their local community. They were not only dedicated law enforcement officers, but they were also the best of friends. Deputy Manuel was set to be the best man in Deputy Wallace's upcoming wedding. So we would ask for your favorable support. And I do want to thank Representative Skidmore for her determination on this road designation. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chase. Thank you for being here as well. The last public testimony we have is Sean Pittman with Palm Beach County, waving in support. Do we have any other public testimony? All right, seeing none, that moves us to debate. Members in debate, seeing no debate, you're recognized to close on your bill. Having waived close, please call the roll on HB 37.
Chair Williamson?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Maluka?
Yes.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Ranking Member Hart?
Yes.
Representatives Bell?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daley?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Lamarca?
Yes.
McFarland? Mooney?
Yes.
Placencia? Romo?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Salzburg King?
Yes.
13 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, please show HB 37 reported favorably.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
That moves us to Representative Lamarca, who has CS for HB 89. Representative Lamarca, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair. HB 89 is a road designation bill, and it encompasses three individuals, and it's amended early on in earlier committee to add two folks, two road designations, from Brevard County, but I'll read them in order of my original and then those as well. So we had a gentleman in South Florida, and if you've been in the legislature for a while and dealt with condos in any way, you remember Pio Iracy. Pio was the president of the Galt Mile Community Association, which is 30 condominiums along the Atlantic Boulevard in, Atlantic Ocean in Fort Lauderdale, and had the privilege of not only spending time with Pio as a county commissioner for 8 years and rebuilding and renourishing a beach along that part of the ocean, but also working with him on condo issues. He was also a dear friend and somebody that my family and I were very close to. Pio succumbed to sudden death due to COVID. Was probably one of the healthiest people anybody could ever meet. If you met him and saw him, you'd think he was going to live forever, but unfortunately that was not the case. And we have a section of State Road A1A between Oakland Park Boulevard and Flamingo Avenue that we're submitting for to be Pio Iracy Memorial Drive. The second one is in Brevard County. This designates a segment of State Road 519 Fisk Boulevard between Rosa L. Jones Drive and I-95 in Brevard County as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Highway. I don't think anything needs to be added other than the fact that we all know the great work of Dr. King and would appreciate your consideration. And then the third one is also in Brevard County, which designates a segment of State Road 520 between State Road 501 and State Road 519 in Brevard is Sergeant George Lee Taylor Senior Memorial Highway. Members, again, on behalf of Representative Soroy, Sergeant Taylor honorably served in the United States Army from 1967 to 71 as a paratrooper with the 173rd Airborne Brigade in Vietnam, where he was awarded a Purple Heart, Bronze Star, and Combat Infantry Badge. After serving, Sergeant Taylor pursued his passion in life and his mission, which was helping homeless veterans in Brevard County. In 2008, he founded the National Veterans Homeless Support with a mission to eliminate homelessness among veterans in Central Florida. Over the past 10 years, the work of NVHS has helped to greatly reduce the homeless veteran population in Brevard County, and he continued his heroic work until he passed away in May of 2020. So dedicating the specific segment of road on State Road 520 to Sergeant Taylor is significant to the family and the organization as it resides where the NVHS headquarters is. The organization, where he founded to better the lives of countless veterans throughout the county and our state. Today, his son, George Taylor Jr., continues his father's legacy by carrying out the mission of NVHS, and I appreciate your consideration for all three of these.
Thank you, Representative, for the explanation on the bill. Members, we have questions from the bill sponsor? Seeing no questions, that moves us to public testimony. No public testimony. Members in debate. Seeing no debate, you're recognized to close.
Waive close. Thank you for your consideration.
Having waived close, Ms. Sabrina, please call the roll on CS for HB 89.
Chair Williamson?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Smolicka?
Yes.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Ranking Member Hart?
Yes.
Representatives Bell?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daley?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
LaMarca?
Yes.
McFarland? Mooney?
Yes.
Placencia? Rommel?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Slogsberg King?
Yes.
13 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, show CS for HB 89 reported favorably. Representative Tuck? Must have wore your tennis shoes today because that was a quick walk. CS for HB 147, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, members. HB 147 is a highway designation bill to honor two fallen law enforcement officers. The bill is to designate a portion of US 98 in Sebring to Deputy William Gentry and the interchange at First Coast Expressway and Henley Road in Clay County to Sergeant Eric John Twinsdale. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for the explanation on the bill. Do we have any questions for the bill sponsor? Seeing no questions, public testimony? No public testimony. Members in debate? Seeing no debate, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Waive close.
Having waived close, Ms. Sabrina, please call the roll on CS for HB 147.
Chair Williamson?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Smolicka?
Yes.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Ranking Member Hart?
Yes.
Representatives Bell?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daley?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
LaMarca?
Yes.
McFarland? Mooney?
Yes.
Placencia? Rommel?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Slogsberg King?
Yes.
13 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, please show CS for HB 147 reported favorably. I'm going to hand the gavel over to my Vice Chair, Vice Chairperson Smolicka.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Williamson, you are recognized to explain House Bill 315.
Thank you, Madam Chair. HB 315 is a facility designation for a portion of Highway 90 in Santa Rosa County in Milton for Murray Hamilton. This is a road designation that is very near and dear to my heart. Mr. Hamilton was somebody, when you think about a community servant and somebody who loved the area that he lived in and did so many things in his life. The portion of this road designation, it starts on Highway 90 where you come from Bagdad, Florida, into Milton. Bagdad is where Mr. Hamilton raised his family and raised one of the best point guards that we've had at Milton High School in a long time, his son, who's a dear friend. Whenever you head down Highway 90, you pass over Dr. Martin Luther King Drive, which would not be named in Santa Rosa County if it wasn't for the good work of Mr. Hamilton. It passes by Mary Street, which is where he had a barbecue place for a while and cooked some of the best ribs in Santa Rosa County. It passes by the Milton Bakery, where he went every Saturday to purchase donuts for his grandchildren. And it ends at Highway 87 North, or Stewart Street, which heads to NAS Whiting Field, where Mr. Hamilton was in the Navy. And this gentleman, the way that I became so close with him is actually he was in a county commission race in 1996, and it was the same county commission race that my father ran in as well, and they became dear friends. Unfortunately, Mr. Hamilton passed away from COVID last year. He was a gentleman who had one of the biggest hearts that you'll ever meet. He's known around town as Hambone and many other different nicknames that he had, but he was a community servant, and he showed that you can do great things in your community without being an elected official. And he's somebody that we miss dearly. I miss dearly, miss hearing from him, because I would call and seek advice from him often throughout this process and just in life. After my dad passed away, he and I became even more close, and he was like an uncle to me. So this will honor his family, and Mr. Hamilton is somebody who definitely deserves it, and that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Members, there are no amendments on the bill. Are there any questions? Seeing no questions, is there any public testimony? Seeing no public testimony, members, we are in debate. Seeing no debate, Representative Williamson, you are recognized to close on the bill.
Waive close, Madam Chair.
Ms. Sabrina, having waived close, will you please call the roll on the bill?
Chair Williamson?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Smoluka?
Yes.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Ranking Member Hart?
Yes.
Representatives Bell?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daley?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
LaMaca?
Yes.
McFarland? Mooney?
Yes.
Placencia? Rommel?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Lawsburg King?
Yes.
13 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, the bill passes. Please show House Bill 315 reported favorably. Well, members, I get to keep the gavel for one more bill presentation. Representative Williamson, you are recognized to explain your next bill, House Bill 331.
Thank you, Madam Chair. HB 331 is a road designation for Ira Mae Wells Bruce. Miss Ira Mae was the first female county commissioner in Santa Rosa County. She was a trailblazer in Santa Rosa County. And if there's anybody that represented her community, or anybody in Santa Rosa County that represented their community, it was her. She loved the town of Navarre, and she fought for it. And this is a road that runs right through the heart of Navarre that we're going to name after her, and that is the bill.
There are no amendments on the bill. Members, are there any questions? Seeing no questions, is there any public testimony? Seeing no public testimony, members, we are in debate. Seeing no debate, Representative Williamson, you are recognized to close.
Waive close.
Having waived the close, Ms. Sabrina, will you please call the roll on the bill?
Chair Williamson?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Smoluka?
Yes.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Ranking Member Hart?
Yes.
Representatives Bell?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daley?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
LaMaca?
Yes.
McFarland? Mooney?
Yes.
Placencia? Rommel?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Slogsburg King?
Yes.
13 yeas, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Thank you. By your vote, members, the bill passes. Please show House Bill 331 reported favorably. Mr. Chairman, I am now passing the gavel back to you.
Just don't throw it too hard. Thank you, Madam Chair. That concludes all of our member bills. Today, we're going to move to the consent agenda. And I know that I say this every time, but I'm going to read the script in full. We're going to take up the consent agenda, members. We will not vote on each bill individually. We'll have questions, debate, and vote only once on the agenda in its entirety. Remember that if you have a no vote on any particular bill, you must submit a nay vote consent agenda form to staff. Are there any questions on the process for the consent agenda? Is there public testimony? Lena Jores with Florida Makes, waiving in support of HB 4735. Adam Basford, waiving support of HB 4735. Thomas Hobbs, waiving in support of HB 4745. Thomas Hobbs, waiving in support of HB 4845. Thomas Hobbs, waiving in support of HB 4483. Carmen Smith, waiving in support of HB 9. Did you want to speak? Okay, you're recognized. I was just scooting along, so I'm sorry about that. Ms. Smith, you're recognized in support of HB 9289. Just press your button. There you go.
Thank you very much, Chair Williamson. Vice Chairpersons Maleka. Ranking Member Hart, thank you, committee, as well for the opportunity to stand before you today about HB 9289, Chipola Area Habitat for Humanity, serving Jackson and Washington counties in the Panhandle, is requesting support for affordable housing infrastructure, water, sewer, stormwater installation for a subdivision for low to moderate income families. That is the information that we have before you today. I want to thank you in advance for your consideration of our request. As many of you all know, our community was rattled by Hurricane Michael in 2018. Our area has not fully recovered. And although we are making great strides, especially lots of headway by way of economic development, individuals are still very much suffering in our community. And we at Chipola Area Habitat have been around in the community 30 years. We have quality construction. We certify our homes to fortified hurricane standards, as well as ENERGY STAR standards. And we would like to be the leader in affordable housing in our community. Thank you for your consideration. And I have here, by way of support, some of our staff members from Chipola Area Habitat for Humanity. Over here, as well as, and they've filled out a form, but I'll acknowledge them as well, if I may. We have Ms. Tiffany Garling, who is the president and CEO of the Jackson County Chamber of Commerce, as well as Ms. Megan Basford, who is the executive director of Main Street Mariana, where the project is slated to be located.
Ms. Smith, thank you so much for your testimony, and thank you for being here.
Thank you very much.
All right, that moves us further in public testimony. We have Megan Basford, who filled out a card for HB 9289, waving in support. We have Zach Gilmore, Jackson County, waving in support of HB 9289, and Tiffany Garland with Jackson County Chamber of Commerce, waving in support of HB 9289. Do we have any other public testimony on the consent agenda? Seeing no other public testimony, is there debate? Members in debate? Ranking Member Hart, you're recognized in debate?
No.
Oh, no. Sorry, Ranking Member, I'm so used to saying that, you know. I'm picking.
Listen, since you called on me, I'm going to just say thank you to Habitat. I look forward to being able to support you all. I know how critically important it is to have affordable housing in your communities. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ranking Member. I knew I could get something out of you. Representative Lamarca, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. And just to follow the Ranking Member, so I have an appropriation that came through this committee at a different stop. It was for Habitat Broward. And, you know, Habitat is an amazing organization, and I will tell you, we have a project in Broward County, and again, it's not on this, but it speaks to Habitat that the Rick Case family put together some property, 77 homes, and to be on a roof working with a future homeowner, and it's an amazing process. I've been out there about a dozen times, and Representative Daly can attest that it's one of the few things that brings the Broward delegation together, and it absolutely is amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Do we have any other members in debate? Seeing no other debate, before I call the vote, are there any nay vote forms on the consent agenda? All right. Seeing no forms being submitted, remember that a yes vote signifies an affirmative vote for every bill on the consent agenda. Ms. Sabrina, please call the roll.
Chair Williamson?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Maluka?
Yes.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Ranking Member Hart?
Yes.
Representatives Bell?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
LaMarca?
Yes.
McFarland? Mooney?
Yes.
Placencia? Rommel?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Slausberg King?
Yes.
13 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, please show the consent agenda passes. All of the bills on the consent agenda will be reported favorably. This does not mean that they are funded. It simply means that they are in the correct posture for funding now. All right, that moves us to the last order of business that we have today. We have the Department of Transportation with us today. They're going to give an update on the tentative work program for fiscal year 2022-2023. And we have Ms. Lisa Saliba, hopefully I got that right, Assistant Secretary for Finance and Administration with DOT. Ms. Saliba, you're recognized.
Good morning, Chairman Williamson and members. We appreciate the opportunity to present for you today an overview of the Transportation Work Program. Oftentimes we're told it is complex. We did try to provide for you some information in this presentation in bite-sized pieces. I will try to watch your body language. If you would like me to speed through some of this, I'll do my best. Again, the attempt here is to present it and correlate it in some bite-sized pieces to inform you of what we just submitted on January 25th. For your consideration, we just delivered our final tentative work program to you, and we hope that you will consider its inclusion in your budget recommendations. So the work program, very simply, is our five-year capital plan for major transportation investments. You all know that includes roads, bridges, ports, airports, transit, rail, and multimodal connectivity. And we're gonna talk some about how it's funded using state, federal resources, as well as toll revenues and bonds. I'll spend some time working to correlate those two frameworks together for you as we move forward. So on to next, wanted to show you a high level representation of the revenues used to support that infrastructure. As you can see, approximately 50% are state revenue collections. Just about 25% is made up of the federal aid receipts for our federal program. And then the remaining is a combination of resources of toll collections, bond proceeds, and the like. So that is a big picture view of our funding sources and our funding framework. Next, we want to talk a little bit about our transportation policy. From a policy framework perspective, the department prepares the Florida Transportation Plan. In that plan, we lay out the guiding principles for investing in transportation projects. It's important to note that this plan is developed in conjunction with our partners and is reflective of their goals and their priorities as well. And you know that our partners include businesses, communities, our local transportation planning organizations, other local governments, and the citizens of Florida. We have a very robust public hearing process, not only for the development of the work program. Many of you have probably participated in individual public hearings for projects. So it is the case that the public has a high level of input at the front end as the plan is being prepared, and then also as projects are delivered. But it's important to note here that over the history, DOT, Florida DOT, has been delivering mobility for over 100 years. The transportation plan is intended to reflect how that will change on the horizon, how our approach will change. And it is, we do recognize that our customers are expecting an innovative, safer, and cleaner mobility options in the future decades to come. So you will see in this iteration a real focus on that. So we, in addition, not only innovate, but we must ensure reliable travel times for the public, provide seamless mobility within communities, accessibility, and transportation that is convenient and affordable. So we embrace that vision of delivering for our customers in the plan. And the vision, in order to be carried out, is also based on goals and actions on our part. So those primary goals, as you can see, are laid out here. They're depicted in this visual. We're interested in delivering safety and security, providing that an agile infrastructure, connected and reliable mobility, transportation choices. Again, we talked about that in terms of options for the various customers that we have. And then solutions that also strengthen our economy, connectivity of interoperability. And then in improving our transportation systems in communities, as well as being sensitive to environmental needs as well, and addressing resiliency. Again, the transportation plan is the policy framework and provides and establishes those guiding principles for development of the work program. Now, the work program, we did try to get a lot in one picture for you, but we'll start on the left-hand side because it's important to note, again, that starting at the local level, we involve the community, we involve businesses, other transportation agencies, and local governments in that planning process. Their input culminates in lists of priorities, projects, and investments for infrastructure for their specific to their community or their region. That is provided to our district offices. We have 7 districts and the Turnpike that make up the Department of Transportation. Those are then at the district level. You saw earlier we have a funding framework. Statutorily, you all have laid out when we receive a certain type of funds, what the eligible uses are. So the districts take that local priority input and they align the funding and the priorities to projects. That becomes the 5-year work program for that particular district. It's submitted to our central office DOT where we consolidate and make it into the statewide plan that we then deliver to you for your consideration. So, again, we recently submitted that to you all, and as upon your approval of the work program, approval of the budget, essentially, we would then, as the department, implement the projects planned in the first year of the work program. So now I want to bridge over, and I will work to click through these pretty quickly, hoping that you can just take this presentation as a takeaway. I want to delve deeper into some of the external events which affect the development of the work program. We as an agency are charged with responding to those external events, and one major external event that you're aware of would be changes in revenue. So you're probably very familiar with these charts, but if you recall back in, it would have been August of 2019, we look back at 19, try to remember where we were with no concept of what a pandemic would even, if we would be experiencing a pandemic, let alone the impacts of a pandemic. The Revenue Estimating Conference prepared a fairly stable and incremental, small incremental growth transportation revenue work program. We build a program around that. We must develop a financially feasible plan that is supported by the revenue, which we did it that we'll get into more detail on what we submitted. Then, as you probably remember, August 2020, we only had 6 months of the pandemic under our belt at that time. Revenue estimators were doing the best that they could, but with only 6 months' experience, they wanted to ensure that folks were building and preparing state plans with the state's best interest at heart. You can see that the delta between those two forecasts, we had to, number one, reduce the resources available to us. Number two, deconstruct projects and take out, remove projects. We do what we call defer or delete projects to remain within those revenues. And the harder part is the revenue collections, again, must be aligned to eligible uses. So there are certain revenues with certain eligible uses. Some go down more, some go up a little bit. So that is what we worked to prepare and build into the plan. But we'll have some examples in the future slides. Followed by our August 2021 forecast. With some level of hindsight, as you can imagine, the amounts for fiscal 20 were about right on point with actual collections. You can see that those two, the pandemic forecast as well as this forecast, was based in fiscal 20 actuals. However, what was different is the 2021 forecast showed that we had more revenues than what were predicted in the prior forecast. And then they're also predicting that we will exceed pre-pandemic revenue for transportation by fiscal 24. So here is our attempt to correlate for you that work program. Again, it's not necessarily a one-for-one. Many of you have heard that and understand that in the work program, we implement a cash to commitment model. So if you, it's like your mortgage, you don't have to have $100,000 in your bank account to buy a $100,000 house. You have sufficient funds in your bank account to make your mortgage payment. We operate the work program very similar. It's typically referred to as cash to commitment. So when you look at the revenues on the dotted line, that is a representation of state revenues. What I've correlated here for you in the table is what the work program submission looked like based upon those revenues. And this would have been, again, in August 2020. So you can see that in 2019, followed by, we would have submitted this to you in January of 2020. You can see that our original plan for the 2021 budget was $10 billion. However, when we get to the August 2020 Revenue Estimating Conference and we have this clearer picture because we're closer to the time frame for delivering that work program, we have to readjust and realign the resources to projects. You could see here our plan in fiscal year 2020-21, the plan was only $8 billion. Again, plan built to revenues. And then, of course, in this forecast, the outer years rebounded very quickly. Our plan reflects that rebound as the revenues go up. Then followed by the forecast in our, actually, I wanted to show for, demonstrate in both a graph and in a table how much revenues were removed from the program. So whatever your preference, if you like to see it as a graph to see the dynamic of the event, or if you're a numbers person and you want to see the raw data behind the graph, this is the amount of revenue and projects removed from the work program. And to my point earlier, you can see, for instance, some revenues, the transportation revenues going down. However, you see the dock stamp revenues going up. So to that point, you may have heard some people say, but my project was moved. Why wasn't this other project moved? Well, we have to look at the eligible revenue sources that were used to fund a project. It was the case that we didn't have to move as many projects that are funded with dock stamp revenues because they were predicting a strong growth pattern for dock stamp. However, those projects that are funded with transportation core revenues had to be reduced because, as you can see, the five-year revenue forecast went down by almost $1.5 billion. All right, so then as we look at the change over time, I just wanted to recap, again, our starting point in over time, we adjust our program that is submitted to you according to these revenue collections. Again, the delta being, here's this chart is the actual raw data, which shows the difference. This chart is the line graph, which demonstrates the events in a different format. All right, so then in 2021, which we are now preparing our plan based upon the August 2021 revenues, you probably know that the revenue estimating conference is just met. We are now, as a, at the outcome of that, working to incorporate those revenues into the work program. As we demonstrated earlier, the process, it does take time to do that as because we go back and we consult our plans and our partners and our principals to determine how to build that into the program. So based upon the August 2021 revenue forecast, our work program for 21-22 prospectively beginning July 1st, 21 for fiscal year 21-22 is $11 billion. Another way to look at that is here is a bar chart of the revenue estimating conference. Again, my attempt here is to provide you data that speaks to you so that you can use it and in as you evaluate our work program. You can see here that the revenue estimating conference has a steady growth for transportation revenues in their forecast. We have built to that revenue forecast. All right, just to recap again, we must build a work program that reacts to these modifications to the revenues that are used to fund transportation infrastructure. I did want to highlight what I mentioned earlier. This is a picture of the dock stamp changes. Again, using the same bar chart, you can see in August of 2019, the dock stamp forecast obviously underestimated based upon their knowledge of the market and interest rates. When they came in August of 2020, they were already collecting more revenue. They modified their forecast, increased forecasted revenues over the previous, But you can see that August 21 represents actual revenues collected in dock stamps. So what the net effect is if our if the actual collections are greater than the forecast, we may experience an aggregate implementation of revenues in the next planning cycle. That is another factor that will impact the amount of the work program that we submit to you. And we depict that chart here. Going back to 2012, as far back as 2012, you can see that what the difference between what we submit in our legislative budget request as compared to what we submit to you in our final tentative work program varies based upon the catch-up that we are working to achieve, the catch-up from the revenue estimating conferences. So in other words, we built a fiscal plan, a transportation plan, to a prior estimating conference. If the actual revenues come in, it means that the next plan that we submit to you will take those revenues into account, and what you will receive could be greater than what we submitted as our legislative budget request. All right, now the current plan, flipping back to the current plan, we wanted to show you from a revenue source perspective what those changes were. So the current revenue, the current transportation work program includes almost $500 million of projects funded with state revenues. Again, to my point, you see the cumulative impact. We're playing catch up. The March 2021 Revenue Estimating Conference forecast $62 million in increases, and then the August 2021 forecast increased $480 million, more than $480 million. So we are working after the actual calculations to then build that into the work program. Where the plan that you have also includes $381 million for local fund investments. What that means is that when we schedule projects in conjunction with the locals and there are match requirements, they are reflected here. So what I would conclude from this is that we had more projects in this work program that come with local match. So that is not a state revenue. That is a receipt we receive from the locals as match to actually produce a project. We also have some truing up that we engage in when we build our iterations of the work program. So we're truing up projects all the time. As projects close, they may come in under cost. When we close the project, we recapture the difference and we put it back on our books. It goes back on the balance sheet for use in the next cycle. That's $351 million. Additionally, the Turnpike is experiencing an increase in toll collections and utilization than prior forecasts. Again, want to be clear, when we're planning a work program, we're talking about a forecast. Then when the actuals come in, we can build that into the next plan. So it doesn't necessarily translate into more people driving on the Turnpike. It meant that they were anticipating fewer people than what actually traveled on the Turnpike to show up. And then also we received almost $100 million in redistributed funds, federal funds, for use on our projects. So in total, what you will see is our work program is $1.5 billion greater than that the one that was submitted as the LBR back in September-October timeframe. This chart will show that graphically for you, that you can see from the red line, the July 2021 estimates, where we were, versus the January 22 work program This is actual work program. This particular chart is not related to revenue. It is what was programmed for projects and investments. But I think this always, a picture says 1,000 words. It shows you the delta between earlier and more recent forecasts or plan, the what's in the plan. Another takeaway for you is that our work program anticipates production and development outside of the boundaries of a typical agency legislative budget request. Legislative budget requests are due in September in accelerated cycles and in October in the normal cycle. However, the statute contemplates that the work program continues production due to public hearings. We're still having public hearings at that point in our local communities, and allows us to submit our first tentative work program 2 weeks before convening of session and a submission of a final work program 2 weeks after the convening of session. The other action we take on is that, knowing that you all have revenue estimating conferences, we work to submit a third version for your use during conference so that we can true up as much as possible to the revenue dynamics and projects and get that built into the budget for the next operating year. So our goal is to have to you a plan on February 25th, which updates the plan just submitted on January 25th. All right, in real numbers, these are our standard what's in the work program. Our new five-year work program by revenue source, as you can see, over 50% is state revenue. Typically under 25% of our program is made up of federal aid. And then the other funding sources, turnpike tolls, right-of-way and bridge, bond proceeds. The next item shows what we're accomplishing with that funding. 47% of the program is dedicated or planned for safety preservation and maintenance. We take care of our existing transportation infrastructure first before we invest and expand the system. We have 34% planned for capacity and other enhancements, and then 16% supporting the implementation of the program, and a 3% debt service amount. Now, for the one-year plan, the budget year that you all are contemplating now, the work program totals $11.9 billion, almost $12 billion. As you can see, 90% of that is delivered in product, which are projects and infrastructure investments. We use approximately 7% for operating budget. Now, what operating includes is the budget categories that are characterized as operating. This includes over $65 million for transportation disadvantage grants, which is classified as operating, not work program. So it isn't strictly departmental operations that make up that amount. Now, you often ask, what do you get for the money? So we like to talk about what we're accomplishing with the plan. We have $3.6 billion planned in highway construction projects, $1.2 billion planned for resurfacing, $117 million for Seaport, and so on. You can see there. What we intend to accomplish, we also set targets. So the department is very mission, vision, goal-oriented, but we also have a target that on an annual basis, we have a target that we aspire to accomplish. So in this, for fiscal year 22-23, our goal is to implement 138 new lane miles and improve 2,637 lane miles in the state of Florida. Our plan includes repairing 52 bridges and replacing 17 of those bridges. So we're very proud of the ability to plan and then produce at the department. We have a cadre of professionals that are second to none. They're expert in their fields. Sometimes they're hard to hold on to, but we do the best that we can. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to take any questions.
Ms. Saliba, thank you very much for the presentation. Members, do we have any questions? Representative Harding, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you for the presentation. I believe it was on slide 19 where you had the percentage breakdown. And on that slide, there's a percentage of 19% for turnpike and tolls. And I'm curious if you can give me a little perspective of historically, is that 19% in line, and are we seeing more or less?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, we're seeing a slight uptick. Right now, again, we're playing catch up. So in this particular plan, you may not see it in the current fiscal year, but over this five-year horizon, they're estimated to invest almost $1 billion more in turnpike infrastructure than what we previously have experienced.
You have a follow-up in there?
I do.
You're recognized.
I've got a separate question, and thank you for that answer. On slide 22, where you had the breakdown of where the dollars are going, highway construction, resurfacing, do we know where out of that beautification, landscaping, as I drive some of the new roads that are being built, obviously we're spending a lot on that, and I'm curious if where that's at and if we have a ballpark of what that is costing.
Recognize.
Mr. Chair, while I wish I could say I have that number memorized, I know where it is. So the landscaping statute requires us to invest at least 1.5% of our construction budget on landscaping. So it will fall within the highway construction line, and we can get for you the exact amount. And it does vary, obviously, year to year. We have a different amount that may be invested in highway construction.
Follow up?
I would appreciate that. And then in that number is the maintenance of that. Will that be in there as well?
You recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, sir. Maintenance is a different line in our work program. So once we have a facility that is constructed, it goes into the inventory. Then what you will see is a correlating increase in our maintenance costs to maintain facilities.
One more.
Thank you, Chairman. Last question. Thank you for the indulgence. Overall, when we look at this outlook over the next few years, do you have a number of jobs that you anticipate to be created with this budget? I've heard in the past a direct correlation with number of dollars spent equals a set number of jobs, and I'm curious if you could provide that.
You recognize.
Chair. Yes, thank you. We have a methodology, so I did not mention earlier, we engage in a macroeconomic analysis of the work program about every 2 to 3 years. We currently estimate that for every dollar invested in transportation, there is a $4 economic impact on the Florida economy. Now, from a jobs perspective, we use a methodology which calculates that for every $1 billion invested in construction activities, 28,000 jobs are retained or created. So take that highway construction amount and multiply it by 28,000, and that would be the jobs created or retained for this program. Now understand that there are other activities clearly going on other than highway construction. We just don't typically apply a jobs formula to those, even though they may employ, in the case of resurfacing, we do employ the construction industry. We are 100% outsourced on our construction.
Representative Harding, you have another last question, or are you good? Okay. Do we have any other questions? All right, seeing no other questions, thank you so much for being here
today.
Thank you for the presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Members, that concludes all of the business that we have today on the agenda. Seeing that we have no other business, Representative Silvers moves we rise. And with that, we're adjourned.